Hello, fellow disciples, and welcome to Pentecost Sunday. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I have been waiting with you in anticipation for what the Lord promised as the disciples waited and prayed for more of the Holy Spirit. They were gathered in Jerusalem along with Jews from all over the world to celebrate the gift of God's instruction to Moses. This God, who revealed the commandments, how to love God and love neighbor, promised to give the gift of the Spirit. Jesus said to wait for this gift in Jerusalem. As they prayed, the Spirit came with power of wind and fire to rest on each of them, giving them the gift of languages they did not know, in order to proclaim God's goodness. They were given power to teach and proclaim Jesus boldly, so that their fellow Israelites were shocked at what they heard. From Acts 2, verses 7 through 8 and 11b, they were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." The Holy Spirit gifted the disciples with the ability to speak and to be understood, not for their own gain or power, but in order to share the good news of Jesus. Peter, the fisherman, not an educated rabbi or an accomplished public speaker, began preaching, further in Acts 2. "Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. This Jesus God raised up. We are all witnesses to that fact. He was exalted to God's right side and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit, and you are seeing and hearing the results of his having done so. Therefore, let all Israel know beyond question that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." We are the ones who are far away, in time and in distance and in culture, whom Peter would have been shocked to know that the Lord their God would invite to change our hearts and lives, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are invited anew, again, today. As our leadership team met to pray for our fellowship and our building this past Tuesday night, Nancy Miller shared her excitement for Pentecost, the anticipation that God would pour out more of the Holy Spirit on us as individuals and as a fellowship. I asked her to lead us in that prayer today, to pray for us. So let us listen and enter into prayer with her and with the Spirit, with hearts of anticipation and willingness to accept the invitation.
Father, I thank you for Pentecost. I thank you for the excitement it's always brought to me with its sense of unknown possibilities. When you told your followers to wait in Jerusalem, they didn't know the nature of the gifts they would receive. Neither do we know the nature of the gifts we will receive when we ask for your Holy Spirit. So in this sense of unknowing, we ask for your Holy Spirit in full measure. We ask that we might receive these tongues of fire on our heads like they did, so that your holy fire would burn away the dimness of our faith, so that we would be warmed to new life and new growth like plants in the springtime, so that your fire would provide us light in the darkness to guide us, as it did for the Israelites in the desert, so that we might not stumble or be led astray, and so that we might have greater understanding to receive the wisdom of those around us. Father, we ask for all these things through your Holy Spirit, knowing that you have already blessed us mightily. We ask that you would send us the unknown blessings that you already have planned for us, and that your grace would enlarge us to receive these blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen.
This time of the early church was an exciting one. Miracles were being performed. The power of the Holy Spirit was at work. Perhaps you want to think back to the beginning of your own faith, when you first accepted God's invitation, when you invited Jesus into your heart and mind and life. Maybe you come from a tradition where there is the laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, as we read later in Acts of the Apostles. Or you remember times when you felt the Holy Spirit vividly in your life, hearing God's guidance with clarity and conviction. These may be individual experiences, and you may also have memories of church life where the power of the Spirit was moving in the fellowship of believers. In much of the Hebrew Bible, the experience of the Spirit was an individual one. Certain people and prophets were given the Spirit to speak, teach, perform miracles and acts of power for God's people. We think of Moses and of the judges, King David and King Solomon, the prophets Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Ezekiel. But the experiences of the Spirit falling on a group of people were few before Jesus lived, died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven, before this experience at Pentecost. Once, when Moses was complaining to the Lord about the burden of leading the people, God expanded the leadership with the gift of the Spirit. From Numbers 11, the Lord said to Moses, "Gather before me 70 men from Israel's elders, whom you know as elders and officers of the people. Take them to the meeting tent and let them stand there with you. Then I'll descend and speak with you there. I'll take some of the Spirit that is on you and place it on them. Then they will carry the burden of the people with you so that you won't bear it alone." The Lord descended in a cloud, spoke to him, and took some of the Spirit that was on him and placed it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but only this once. Two men had remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the second named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they hadn't gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, Nun's son, and Moses' assistant since his youth, responded, "My master Moses, stop them." Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, with the Lord placing his Spirit on them." Moses declared what the prophet Joel would later speak, whom Peter referenced in his first sermon at Pentecost, that the Lord would place the Spirit on groups of people, men and women, young and old. This is what we celebrate today, the extension, the fulfillment of that outpouring of the Spirit from the wilderness of wandering to the city of Jerusalem. But what about us? Are we feeling that outpouring of the Spirit? Do we experience the power and excitement, the ability to hear and speak of God's good works? Or has that become a memory of the early days of our faith, the early days of the first church, the early days of our fellowship? There is a reason God's people pray for a new outpouring of the Spirit. Our hearts can become dull. We become jaded and distracted. The group experience of church is not all Holy Spirit fire and miracles, even in Acts, as we will see. And so we must return to the Lord, ask again, wait again, pray again. Arlene Rappaport was one of the early believers of New Covenant who experienced the message and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so I've asked her to lead us in prayer for our fellowship and our future, that we might again experience the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Please join now with her in prayer for ourselves and for our community.
In the beginning, when I first came to New Covenant, it was easy for me to pray and to hear the Holy Spirit. As I became part of this community, I could often hear God in very clear and vivid ways. Over time, it became more difficult to hear as I became distracted by many things in my own life and in the life of our community. Now, as I think of New Covenant's future, I ask God to bless me and us with more of His presence and His Spirit. I pray that we would all experience a sense of the immediacy of God's Spirit as we move forward individually and as a community.
As we pray for our future, we remember our past. And we remember that the Holy Spirit was present and at work since the very beginning, from the opening verses of the Bible in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was unformed and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water. Or as the Hebrew says, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was present from the beginning, hovering over the chaos, the breath and wind of God facilitating creation. This creative Spirit of God also hovered over Mary and the darkness of the waters of the womb. From Luke 1, verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit is present to bring life from what was unformed, to bring light out of darkness, a powerful presence to transform the world and the individual, from the impossible to the possible, from void into being. Do we want that power to be at work in our lives? Do we want more of that power to transform our darkness, our chaos, our void into light and order and life? Is it okay to want that? Is it okay to ask for that power to be at work in us, in our bodies, as it did in Scripture? Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 11, "And I tell you, ask and you will receive, Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give this child a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What are the good gifts we love to give to our children? What were the good gifts our parents gave to us? At the Backyard Music Fest last night, we heard lots of great music, and I heard grown men singing of heaven and earth and the gifts that their mothers, long past before them, gave to them. Of watermelon, with the seeds lovingly already removed. Of scrapes and cuts lovingly tended, with the promise that in the end, it would be all right. These good gifts formed and transformed children into adults who look forward to being reunited with gifts and the givers. If these mothers, flawed human beings, knew how to give good gifts to their children, how much more does our divine parent want to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, if we are willing to ask? As I have been praying for this teaching this week, I have become convinced, convicted even, that we are supposed to ask fervently, as our friend and faithful prayer Virginia Wiley says, for more of the Holy Spirit, for the power of the Holy Spirit to become evident in our lives, to us and to the world. And even as I read passage after passage about the power of the Spirit, I found myself wondering if it is okay to pray for power. Perhaps we shy away from that at New Covenant. Power has become a dirty word for understandable reasons. Abuse of power, including various doctrines and spiritual practices, have made us wary of power of any kind. Perhaps a pendulum swing that has caused us to miss out on the gift that God wants to give us. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be created and transformed and to be instruments of the good news of Jesus. Borrowing a metaphor from Melissa's teaching last week about unwrapping the gift and participating in the joy of using and playing with the gift, too often we have been satisfied with the empty box, amusing ourselves for hours with the wrapping and the container, but missing out on the gift. How do we distinguish bad power from good power? What is the power of the Spirit? And why would we ask for it, pray for it, wait for it, desire more of it? Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah in his first public teaching. Quick side note, Jesus' first teaching came after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And Peter's first preaching came after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus and empowered Peter to teach in continuity with Moses and the prophets. It is the same Spirit at work from the beginning of creation, through anointed individuals in the Hebrew Bible, through Jesus, through the disciples, on to the first believers, and now to us. So what is that work of the Spirit? As Jesus read in his first teaching, recounted in Luke from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the spirit and anointing that we ask for, to be empowered to preach the good news, to release prisoners, bring sight to the blind, liberation to the oppressed, and the Jubilee year of the Lord's favor. As our closing prayer, I ask Sharon Chubbuck to lead us. May her prayer for us as individuals and as a community become our prayer as well, that we would be transformed to be witnesses of the power of God at work in ordinary people, that God's power would be revealed in our weaknesses, that we would depend not on our own abilities, cleverness, good theology, financial capability, or good works, but on the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together.
Father, you promised to give the Holy Spirit to your people, and here you are now. We pray that we might experience the Holy Spirit you've given us. We pray for ourselves as individuals, and we also pray as a community, your family. God, awaken us as individuals and together, gathered in this new covenant space and scattered throughout the world. Renew us with the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and fruit your Spirit gives without measure. Amen.